at a time. Hey, by the way, I'm sitting here looking at some text messages, but the text lines are indeed open. That's 833-687-4448, otherwise known as 833-68-RIGHT. By the way, Big Rig, do you know the reason why it's 68 right? Do you know the story behind that?
I do not. I'd like to know, though.
I don't know if you knew this. So it's just the bottom line is when they gave me the options, I told them I wanted the word right to be in the phone number, mm-hmm. and they couldn't do like right side. It wouldn't fit. So they gave me some options, and one of them was, you know, 68 right. And, well, my first car, 68 Mustang, my baby.
Wow.
And so my 68 Mustang is now embedded in our phone number as far as I'm concerned.
It's meant to be.
Whoop, whoop. Anyway, yep, 68 Mustang, nickname Thunderfoot. But there it is. I still miss my child, my four-wheeled child. All right, so I got breaking news here that I'm going to get to in 1 minute, but I will just tell you a couple things in the text lines. Gary from Decatur, he just texted in. Oh, my texture. Why does my texture reboot when I try to read sometimes? That just drives me bananas. Gary, I am just trying desperately to read your text, and it just will not give it to me. In fact, now it's giving me an error. What did Gary text me? I don't know.
Same over here on my end.
All right, we'll get our text line back out. Let me go to the breaking news real quick. So here's the thing. You may recall that President Trump is, you know, dealing with his own legal, you know, battles right now over the question of whether he mishandled classified documents. Remember all that? The raid on Mar-a-Lago? How dare he? Was he storing classified documents in the bathroom? Well, actually, no, he wasn't. There were boxes. It doesn't mean they were classified, but there were some classified documents, apparently. Well, guess who gets to declassify documents? The President of the United States. However, he is now facing charges for possession of classified documentation. You may recall, then there was the infamous box of documents sitting next to the green Corvette in Joe Biden's garage. What in God's name? You mean he had some? Oh, yeah. Oh, look, he also had some at the Penn Biden Center. In a closet. How did that happen? Wait, there's more. They found some in his desk when they came to the house to do a search. Well, a special counsel had to be appointed to review the documents. Special counsel Robert Hur has been investigating Joe Biden's improper retention of classified documents for the last year. His report just came out in the last 10 minutes. Y'all, so first of all, they're not recommending criminal charges at all, although they did find that Biden willfully mishandled documents. Willfully. That means with intent to take them home, he just did. Didn't bring them back, knew better, and didn't follow through. But it's what they said about him that is raising eyebrows right now. Because in the course of the report, it specifically states, the special counsel described Biden as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. They said that in the report. That's a quotation. It says this, because they're thinking about not pressing, they're not recommending pressing charges, which is boggling. So Trump's on trial, basically. But Biden, he's old and feeble, so we're going to let this go.
Trump is coherent, you know.
Oh, because Trump's coherent, he may face criminal charges.
Yeah.
So here's what they said. Okay, classic. Here's what they said. Quote, we have also considered that at trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Her wrote in the report. Based on our direct interactions with and observations with him, he is someone from whom many jurors will want to identify a reasonable doubt. It would be difficult to convince a jury they should convict him, by then a former president, well into his 80s, of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness. So what they just said was, dude's feeble. Let him go to the house and have pudding. That's what they said. They just basically said, because he presents himself as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, we're not going to recommend charges. I guess if maybe Trump had said, I'm sorry, I'm struggling today. Can you tell me what's going on? Where am I right now? Is it pudding time yet? Then he wouldn't be facing charges either. The disparity here is galling. All right, we're going to break this down more as the show goes on. My gosh. And we're going to reboot the text message machine. So we'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all I'm talking about? This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so I got to do text messages because some of these are good, man. And then I'm going to try and jump into my first dipper before we take the call with Congressman Palmer at top of the hour. Caitlin from Madison just texted a minute ago about that breaking news a moment ago about Joe Biden. She said, they just called our president mentally unfit with like 3 exclamation points. Says, I mean, they've just pled insanity for him, basically. I have no words. So anyway, too hilarious. All right, what else have I got here in the text lines? Brad from Limestone County. He must have been listening to the podcast. He says, just catching up on yesterday's program, I heard Trey did text yesterday. Trey posited the notion that Republicans lost the last 3 elections because of their dogged opposition to snuffing out the lives of perfectly healthy babies in the wombs. I remember that. Remember that yesterday? Trey said, we need to stop focusing on abortion. We're not focusing on it. We just don't support it. He said, I think we need a new parody bit and call it Trey's Take. So basically, whatever too smart by half of the dissembling sophistry the smart set is pushing to get us back down from our principal position, usually blaming the principal position for Republican losses, even when empirical data suggests otherwise. That's a great idea. So you know, what's funny is all this talk about, Taylor Swift. I remember way back in the day when Yellowhammer News first started, my friend Cliff Sims was the one who was running it. And he used to do a section called Haters Gonna Hate. And that was his thing. And he would just run stories about how things they say that they hate us. And he would just run a story. It was just fun laughing at it. Trey's Take. Maybe so. Jason from Huntsville says, the Hawaii court says spirit of aloha supersedes the Constitution. I don't know what you're talking about. He sent me a story, but I have no time to read it right now. But thank you very much. I'll check it out. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue. Definitely one of your best, and it earns you 5 extra credit points. Thanks, man. I also want to say that for some strange reason, The Boy Who Cried Wolf reminded me of that awesome show called Airwolf. Wow, you are reaching, brother, but I remember that show. Absolutely. Jan Michael Vincent, Airwolf. Gary from Decatur, thank goodness the Jesse, talking about my monologue here, thank goodness the Jesse Smollett's of the world are being exposed. Truth is always a powerful force. Yes, it is. Back on the issue about Biden, which, by the way, if you didn't hear it for the break, the special counsel, what's his name, special counsel Hur, just came out with his report and said, said basically that in his report, this is a direct quote. I'm not making this up or inferring it. A direct quote was in the review of the situation regarding Biden keeping classified documents at his house and, you know, out of all kinds of places, was willful, number one. No charges are being referred, number two. And three, they described Biden as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. That's the sitting president of the United States. I don't mind if someone has that, describing them. I don't mind anybody being a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, unless they're the president of the United States. And then I get a little concerned. Mr. President, where are your nuclear codes? I'm sorry. Can you help me with that? What are we talking about right now? I mean, Mr. President, we have the meeting with the King of England. Who's that again? King of who? I mean, where does it end? Mr. President, we need you in the Situation Room. We have an incident with Iran. They are apparently about to go nuclear. Iran, is that in the Middle East? I mean, where does this go? Sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. That's horrible. Racing from Hawaii checking in with us. He says, excellent monologue, Brother Phil. The left always seeks to distract and divide. Ruffians, we are blessed with discernment. God bless our military. Hoorah. Thank you, brother. Racing, we're glad to hear from you, man. Danny, I got so many texts. I can't keep up, man. I'm going to do a whole segment on text messages here. He says, and I don't mind that, by the way. I love that. Danny from Pinhook, Alabama says, they're saying Joe Biden would just enter a not guilty by insanity plea and it couldn't be disproved because there's no reason to pursue it. Basically, they didn't say it quite like insanity, but they just basically said that you're not going to get a conviction even if you put him in front of a jury because they'll just look at him like pawpaw. That's my pawpaw. There's like my pawpaw. I couldn't convict my pawpaw. That's what they'll do. Trump's like 4 years younger, and he's just like wearing it out right now, and they're just beating him up. Robert from Athens, where we go here? Dear Colonel Phil, it's a long text. He says, regarding Trump's forgiveness of Bud Light, what he said was reasonable, but after years of being blamed for racism, sexism, every form of phobia, and bending over backwards for every finger pointer and crybaby, I do not feel like being reasonable. Give me back some dignity for being a white, straight, Christian, tax-paying male who's a veteran. Until then, woke stays broke. All right, bro. Don't be drinking no Bud Light. I understand. Your choice, man, and I'm with you. Jeff from Indiana, I think we need to have an audit of all classified documents to see how many are missing, because apparently this is a thing that's done all the time by people who have no authority to take them. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if it was me or Big Rig who had walked out with some documents, Uniform Code of Military Justice would have slapped us hard. I mean, I would have lost my security clearance. I likely would have been, you know, probably had at the very least a general officer memorandum of reprimand, if not having some type of, you know, judicial punishment attached to it. Dock my pay. Who knows? This is serious business. But he's a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. That is going to be such a meme on social media. I can just see the memes already. It's going to be awful. The text messages are running the show right now. You realize that, don't you?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. If you see one you want to read, let me know.
Okay.
Marcus from Huntsville says, if Biden isn't mentally competent enough to be charged with mishandling classified documents, then I guess it's a good thing he is no longer has access to classified documents as president. Tongue in cheek. Common sense has indeed become a superpower, and apparently so has basic logic. I'm saying, man. Robert from Athens. Per the special counsel's report outlining Biden's mental state, shouldn't members of the cabinet then invoke Article 25? Well, they've never had more grounds for it, I can just tell you that. Anonymous up in Tennessee. We have an anonymous in the—you got to tell us what your name is. I mean, how did we stick with anonymous anyway?
He gave us his name at the beginning.
Did he? Oh, it's Charlie. Charlie from Tennessee. Charlie, I am sorry. We're going to change that right now.
No longer anonymous.
Not anonymous anymore. Charlie says, Biden won't be charged for crimes he committed years ago when he wasn't senile because he's senile now. That makes perfect legal sense. That's right. Back when I murdered that person, I was younger. Now that I'm old, I hope that you'll take that into account. No. Anyway. Navy Phil from Athens says, much of the Joe's classified data was found by people without a clearance. That's probably true. Darlene from Gadsden. Hey, Darlene, says, just knowing that old senile man has his finger next to the red phone and the button scares me to death. I hear you. Two more texts and I'm done. Alice from Huntsville. The statement that was just made about Biden should now keep him off the ballot for president. Well, at the very least, it's a campaign issue. How about that, Alice? And then Gary from Decatur says, breaking, SCOTUS just accepted the I'm an old man. I'm an old, well-meaning man. Defense for felonies, fraud, money laundering, and of course, handling of classified documents. Wow. Okay. All right. Listen, I love this audience, man. We are. Y'all are wired up and engaged today. I'm gonna tell you. Yesterday we were like slow on text for a while, and now I can't even keep up. All right. Listen, I'm gonna kick this off. So we've got a call coming up in a few minutes with Congressman Gary Palmer, and I want to talk to him about several things. To include border security and the failed vote for impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas. By the way, and we'll confirm this with him, but if you remember, if you were listening yesterday, yes, it did not pass. Yes, I am concerned about the fact they brought it to the floor without having the votes in place. But yes, Steve Scalise, who would have been a yes vote, was unavailable because he was having to go through cancer treatments and he's expected to be back soon. So that can bring the vote up one, which is what they need. But there was one member who had to change his vote at the very end from a yes to a no. Well, that's a member of leadership who took one on the chin for the team because it's a procedural thing. And I'm just going to say it again, even though I explained it yesterday. The bottom line is, under Robert's Rules of Procedure, if you are voting on the prevailing side, meaning the side that won, you can then move to reconsider. Well, ain't nobody who voted no on the Democrats or the ones who are really opposed to it that are going to move to reconsider. So at the very last second, before the votes were considered, you know, truly in and you know, accounted for by the clerk, this one individual went to the microphone, changed his vote, and said, you know, basically, having voted on the prevailing side, he has the opportunity now to come back and say, having voted on the prevailing side, I move to reconsider, meaning that the impeachment may still get the light of day. But then something happened last night. Remember the border bill? So the border bill, I'm looking at a story from Fox News that came out last night. This just infuriates me. Basically, the White House has announced if they don't get the funding they want to do things they want with the border, that they are going to reduce the number of deportations and detentions. What is that like? That's called blackmail. Well, you're going to give us what we want, or we're going to take it to the House. We won't do a good enough job anymore. What do we got? Some kind of union deal going on here? What is this? Well, we get rest breaks every 4 hours. So the White House on Thursday announced that the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement will soon be, quote, forced to reduce its operations at the southern border due to a lack of funds. No, you know why they're having struggles? Because of Biden's policies. Because they have the same number of people in adequate budgeting that they had under the Trump administration. They are now stretched so thin because of the Biden administration's immigration policies. Period. This is not rocket science. It's not. Because congressional Republicans are choosing partisan politics over our national security and refusing to pass the bipartisan national security agreement, yada, 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 says Karine Jean-Pierre, ICE will be forced to reduce its operations. Well, wow. She went on to talk about how it's about money. It's just about money. I need more money. Somebody give us money. If y'all will give us money, you can tell that Biden spent a lot of time spending tax dollars when he was in the Senate. Well, Karine Jean-Pierre, went on to say, I had somebody one time call her Pepe Le Pew. That just cracked me up. Anyway, Karine Jean-Pierre said that without additional appropriations, ICE would be forced to reduce its removal operations, its total detention capacity, and more. What they're basically saying is, we're going to hold the nation hostage if we don't get what we want. So just you, I'll show you. This, y'all, this is just messed up. You don't get to bargain with our national security. And we shouldn't be required to bargain against ourselves, for that matter. I mean, this is the kind of negotiation that you're supposed to have with foreign entities, not amongst ourselves. Well, we'll only give you border security if you give us more money. That's what they want. And meanwhile, we're all sitting here watching it happen. All right, Big Rig, let's take a break, brother. We'll take that break right now. We will come right back and move forward on this dipper. And then, like I said, top of the hour, Congressman Gary Palmer calling in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower up in here. So I'm on this section right now I'm calling National Insecurity. Well, you know, some of the things that are making it insecure, I say some of the things, all of them. And by the way, if Republicans were at fault, I would say it. I mean, how many times have I called out our Republican brethren in Montgomery or, you know, questioned why votes went a certain way and Republicans are joining Democrats on something that's just ridiculous. But let me just go ahead and lay complete blame right now for the questions related to national insecurity on the topics that I'm on right now at the feet of the Biden administration. I have no qualms doing that. If Trump was in office right now and these things were happening, I would be blaming the Trump administration. Although I'm pretty sure if Trump was in office right now, we wouldn't be seeing these same things. So the two things that I'm focusing on right now that I think are potentially two of the most destabilizing issues that create a national insecurity are our southern border and then questions about what's happening with Iran. I know that everybody wants to focus on Ukraine up in D.C. for some reason, and I get it. That's a big, hairy deal. There is a war on a scale of World War II going on at the borderline, well, not even big borders, it's well in past the borders of Ukraine, the Crimean Peninsula, Russia. I don't think the American public knows the level of devastation and death. We're hearing that hundreds of thousands. Keep in mind, we were at war in Afghanistan for 20 years, right? And the death toll was like nothing by comparison to what the Russians have just put their people through a meat grinder. And they've lost hundreds of thousands of troops. That being said, I really think what's happening right now in the Middle Eastern area with Iran destabilizing, creating the tensions that are causing now Israel to have to go to war with Hamas, Hezbollah still sitting on missiles in Lebanon, launching them occasionally into the northern Israel. And then you've got what's happening in Syria and Iraq. And then you've got the Houthis in Yemen that are sitting right there just launching missiles into the Red Sea and targeting ships. Some naval warships, but a lot of them are just like, you know, tankers that are carrying goods that you and I buy at the store. Well, like 50% of the world's trade goes through that area by ship. And it's being stymied. That being said, I and by the way, a new report came out. Do I have that in my stack? I'm not sure if I even got that. Yes, I do. Here it is. Fox News, last night. Iran capable of building a nuclear bomb in 1 week. I'm sorry. Can I read that again? Iran capable of building a nuclear bomb in 1 week, a report finds as Middle Eastern tensions flare. An Iran watchdog group, according to Fox News, says the country has enough weapons-grade uranium to build a nuclear weapon in just 1 week. I'm going to go ahead and hazard the guess they already have at least one. Just saying. The Institute for Science and International Security published the findings in a report on Monday saying that Tehran could produce a total of 6 bombs in a month. The volatile situation in the region is providing Iran with a unique opportunity and increased internal justification for building nuclear weapons, while the United States and Israel's resources to detect and deter Iran from succeeding are stretched thin. So what they're saying there basically is Iran has been allowed in the last few years to pursue its enriched uranium program at a much higher level than they had been before. Sanctions have been reduced, so they have more monetary capability. And then on top of that, this report suggests that the volatility in the region, which is all being done by Iranian proxies, are distractions to those of us, Israel, United States, that would try to actively monitor and assess Iran's nuclear capability on a more regular basis. Basically, create a diversion, quick, build it. No one's looking, build it. Well, that's very likely what's happening. You talk about something that could destabilize the world, y'all, the world. Think about this. Saudi Arabia is a largely Sunni Muslim state. They do not like Iran at all. Iran is a Shia Muslim state, and they're a fundamentalist one at that. The two of them are already at odds. And if the oil fields of the Middle East in the largely Sunni nations are in some way impacted by a nuclear blast that is traced back to Iran, and Iran becomes a sole source of oil for the world, guess what? People are going to make alliances with them because they know they have to have it. I'm just telling you, this is a volatile point. Our southern border and what's happening in Iran, in my opinion, are the two biggest security risks that we face. That creates what I call a national insecurity. We're going to take a break here momentarily. When we get back from the break, I expect to have Congressman Gary Palmer on. We'll talk to him in terms of southern border, first of all, about what happened with the Mayorkas vote. And then we'll talk to him about what's going on with national security in general, where he sees things going. My gosh, do we have to wait for the administration to change before we can get something done? That concerns me, too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.